We begin our journey this month with the difference between pursuing and seeking, two very different things. The Tao, number 48. In the pursuit of learning, every day something is acquired. In the pursuit of the Tao, every day something is dropped. Less and less is done until non-action is achieved. When nothing is done, nothing is left undone. The world is ruled by letting things take their course. It cannot be ruled by interfering. There is great wisdom in this teaching, a teaching that is beyond the common logic and reasoning of the pedestrian mentality that lives in all of us. What is your pursuit? I watch students as they listen to discourses, especially these that I've been giving on the Tao, and they try to listen to them as though they are studying philosophy or religion or some basic ideal that they think is very important. So they study it. The word pursuit, which is what they're doing, is striving towards a quest, striving after something, an aim, a goal, an objective, something like that. A hobby, a pastime, a diversion. That's the pursuit. And in this mind, we are trying to understand things through logic and reasoning. And in living in such a manner, in listening to discourses in such a manner, you soil them, because that's not the way they are. You can listen to this discourse as a lecture if you like, and try to glean information out of it. So when Lhotse says, in the pursuit of learning, every day something is acquired, he means that something is added to our intellect. This is basically what it's all about for most of us. This is the best people can do. They are not authentic seekers. And there are so many traps and fears about being a seeker. The trap is that the mind will start to think, oh, you're in a cult. Oh, this is a terrible thing you're doing. This doesn't make sense. Why would you lose every day to gain something you can't even understand that is nebulous to our needs, our wants, our desires? This is what the ego purports to us all the time. In the pursuit of learning, every day something is acquired. But you have to understand what I am offering you here is not something you pursue through intellect, through ego, through vanity, through pride. It is not something you try to understand through logic and reasoning. If you do this kind of thing, you will miss. And so this is why it's so easy for you to listen to a discourse, and then when I ask you in session, how are you doing with the Tao, you can't remember. You don't know. How are you doing with the Tao? How are you listening to these discourses? Do you listen to them as a person in pursuit of a goal? Or can you listen to them as a seeker? The transformation from a pursuer to a seeker is a very big transition, very big. This transition goes beyond the academia of turning something very beautiful and deeply, shall we say, transformational into something that's intellectual. I've had many people do this, and if they can't understand it through their intellect, then it just doesn't exist. Then it's just not important. The intellect is always looking for something to redeem itself, to show that whatever it is thinking or pursuing has some sort of, shall we say, practical value in a person's life. But the seeker is a different person altogether. The pursuer is a person who lives from death to death. But the seeker is a person who lives from life to life, from living in the world to that of the real meaning of life itself. This is one of my favorite stories. And I want to say to you in the beginning right here, there is no way to help you, or there is no way to share with you the meaning of your life without insulting you. I want you to understand, I don't sit here and think, how can I insult my students? Your life is an insult. The way you live away from the state of your being, away from your heart, away from anything authentic, that isn't the insult. The assumptions, the presumptions, that is the insult. Not my words pointing out to you, fingers pointing to what is going on, and how you bite my fingers and get easily insulted. You have no sincerity when you do that. You can tell what a person's sincerity is by how willing they are to understand the significance of the teachings that are sacred, that confound and insult the ego, the pride, the vanity of a person. When someone gets insulted, it just means they're pursuing things, pursuing ideas and philosophies that they think will help them. But the seeker, well, that's a different person altogether. That's a person who does something unique beyond the confines of the pedestrian mentality. Let me show you. This is a great story. A man came to a Sufi mystic, and Sufis are very special people. They are extremely physical about the seeking, the avenue of seeking, the way. They show no mercy, and they don't mind insulting anyone for the sake of their awakening, to show the irony, shall we say, of the student's insincerity. So a man came to this Sufi mystic and said, I'd like to know God. Can you give me some method to know God? See, that's what people who pursue want, a method. But even if you give it to them, they don't get it at all. They can't do it. So the mystic said, I am going to the river to take my bath. Come with me. And if I get a chance, I will give you a method. Well, they went to the river. Man was very curious as to what was going to happen. What was this mystic going to give him at the river? At the river, the mystic said, now, please unrobe yourself and let's get down into the river and take a bath, and let me tell you how to take a bath. So they did so. And the minute the man got into the water, the mystic jumped down on him. pushed him down into the river. The Sufi was a very strong man. The seeker could not understand what was happening. He had come to ask how to attain to God, and this man, this Sufi mystic, supposedly, is trying to kill him. But you see, when it's a matter of life and death, even the seeker who was not a very strong man, tried hard to save his life, and I think that's always interesting. Eventually, he threw the mystic away, and he came out of the water and said, "What nonsense! What are you doing? I had thought I had come to learn of God. I have been told that you were enlightened. Your fame as a mystic is everywhere. What are you doing? Are you a murderer? I haven't done anything to you but just ask you the question, how to attain to God." The mystic said, "That was what I was doing, giving you a method." The man was puzzled. "Tell me," said the mystic, "what was the first thing on your mind? What really happened when I pushed you down into the river?" The man thought for a moment. "Only one thing, how to get out, how to get rid of you." And in the end, even that disappeared. There was only one effort, not a thought, just an effort. My whole life was at stake. So there was only the effort to somehow overcome you and get out of the river. "I pulled all my energies together, known and unknown," he said, "conscious and unconscious, whatever I had, because it seemed to me that this was going to be my last moment if I were not careful." The Sufi said, "That is the method. When your awakening becomes your life and your death problem, when awakening is more important to you than anything in your world, when life and death are hanging on the very question of the quest to awaken, then, and only then," said the Sufi, "will you be able to understand the way." It is true. There are certain nuances to the spiritual path that can't be spoken, that can't even be taught. There has to be a deep and sustaining effort to awaken spiritually beyond the confines of right and wrong, good and bad, beyond the confines of reasonable and unreasonable. You have to be beyond the insult. You have to be beyond the anger of what you have done to yourself over the many years of your life and realizing you have lived frivolously under the guise of an ego that is relentless, a dictator. And once you understand that, once you truly understand that, then your efforts are total. When you truly want to shed the ego, the body, the aggrandizement of assumption, when you are really willing to go beyond the beyond, you have done something noble. You must live noble, seeking virtue. If you can live in the nobility of consciousness, the nobility that makes no sense to the gravitas of your thinking and your desiring, when you can get beyond the idea and the ideals of right and wrong, good and bad, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, when you are willing to lose it all for the sake of seeking the way, that is when it becomes important to you. That is when you have found the effervescence of love and life. I have been around some very enlightened people in my day. And as I have said to you many times, they are not, quote, unquote, normal people. They understand . They go into understanding in a different way. They don't seek to control their life. They don't seek to gain in their life. They're not in pursuit of anything, not a goal, not a dream, not a desire, none of that. And like Sapolsky says in his book, Determined, they relinquish their will. We have no free will. We live by the impulses of our genetic heritage. We live by the impulses and the inclinations of our genetic traits, our DNA. We are consumed by these things, and hence we miss everything that is beautiful. Everything that, as I always say, could be. And though these things that could be exist within us as beingness, we cannot see them. We cannot acknowledge them because we're in pursuit of something all the time, trying to get something we want. Our whole life is a surge of getting what we want: wealth, affection, gratification, satisfaction. We want to escape whatever it is that is going on in our life that we do not approve of, or we think is hindering us from having the quote-unquote good life we think we deserve. We have all these things going on, and in doing so, we have missed the totality of our livingness. In the pursuit of learning, every day something is acquired. But in the pursuit of the Tao, every day something is relinquished, is dropped, is lost. What is it that is lost? Pride, vanity, Greg Penn, stupidity, foolishness, assumption, presumption, all these conjectures that we have within us that are genetic by their nature. They have to be dropped. I want you to sit with me in this meditation that we're about to do. In the total awareness of your futility as a human being. Not as you, because you are not that human being, but in the futility of living as a human being. Remember, humanity is not humane. And you must remember this. A lot of the things that we have done to keep our life going, to sustain it in some way or another, has caused us to miss, and miss badly. So if you wish to awaken, if you truly wish to allow the Tao to have its way with you, every day, drop something. A chance to be prideful, a chance to be arrogant, a chance to be willful. Any chance that you may have to emulate these qualities, drop them. For once, just don't do them. See what is left. You will see what is left can only be described as love. So, from the Tao, in gathering your vital energy so that you can create an agility. You have achieved the state of a newborn child. In cleansing your inner vision, you have purified yourself of the dullness. So let's purify ourselves. Sit in the midst of you and realize the futility of living as a human being. Not my will, but thine.